Overhead Door Company, the original garage door company, serving you for over 90 years. Call 843-767-0028 or overheaddoorco.com. Overhead Door Company of Charleston, proud to open hour two of the Morrow Midday Show.
This is the Morrow Midday Show.
But wait, there's more.
On ESPN Radio.
Yes, I'm back again. Sadie's back. Tell a friend. Guess who's back.
Second hour of the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio from Patriots Point for the Charleston Battery for their home opener tonight against the Charlotte Independents. Tonight's game is sold out. Starts at 7 o'clock, but you can watch it on ESPN+. You can even hear it on SiriusXM. The good news is there are still tickets available for the next home game, which is going on next Sunday, May 23rd, 2 o'clock in the afternoon against the New York Red Bulls. More on that in just a moment, because next week is the PGA Championship, and we'll be out there at the Ocean Course for 25 hours of coverage for the 2021 PGA Championship, starting on Wednesday, right here with the Morrow Midday Show. And we'll be out there doing shows Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, our normal shows with the Morrow Midday Show, of course, 12 to 3, then Fan Talk 3 to 6. But we'll also be out there Saturday and Sunday as well, leading to the moment in which we'll crown a champion this weekend, next weekend, the PGA Championship at the Ocean Course. So looking forward to that starting on Wednesday. And we'll be joined by golf analyst Scott Glaze and Meredith Taylor will be with us all week long. Plus, parking for the tournament is on Kiowa Island at Freshfields Village, and that's where we will be located. And then they'll have shuttles that will take guests to and from the golf course. And there's a walking path from said parking lot to the Freshfields Village. So to try to explain this as simply as possible, if you're going next week, where you park, we'll be right there. Just walk through the path. You'll come over and see us. Maybe when you're done for the day, you go out, you watch some golf, you come home, you go to get back in your car, grab something to eat first at Freshfields Village. They'll have live music going on, all sorts of different. They have a beer garden over there, different vendors, obviously all the restaurants, shops, and you can come over and find us as well. And when you do, you'll have a chance to win a round for a foursome at Stono Ferry. Looking forward to it. Starting next Wednesday, we'll be there through Sunday. You come out on the weekend. Maybe you just want to be in the area. There'll be TVs. You can watch it with us at Freshfields Village. Go get something to eat, do some shopping, hang out with us, watch the event, and you'll have a chance to win a foursome at Stono Ferry. ESPN's Charleston coverage next week of the 2021 PGA Championship is presented by Starling Chevrolet, I Promise Eye Vitamins, and Freshfields Village on Kiowa Island. So looking forward to it. Now, as mentioned, the next home game after tonight, because tonight is sold out for the Charleston Battery. So the next home game that you can attend is next Sunday. So the PGA Championship will be going on. But I know of a lot of people that are unable to attend, that struck out on tickets, whatever it may be. Maybe you just prefer soccer. You can come out and support the Charleston Battery next Sunday, May 23rd, against the New York Red Bulls, and get your tickets online while you still can at the at charlestonbattery.com. It's fantastic. If you haven't been out here for any sort of sporting event, if you haven't come out for College of Charleston, you haven't been to a Battery game, obviously they were restricted with the number of fans last year. More fans right now can come to these games, 50% capacity, but it's a really cool what they've done around here, and we'll talk about it with the owner of the Battery, Rob Salvatore, coming up later on this afternoon. But they have different food trucks rolling in. Looking forward to that later. Get some Coastal Crust Wood Fire Pizza. They're here all season long. They have different bars set up. Wicked Weed, Craft Bar, the Heineken Highlight Bar, the Bud Light Corner Kick Deck, which I was hanging out at earlier. You could be feet from the field, from the pitch right at the corner there, and heckle the other team if you wish at the Bud Light Corner Kick Deck. It's got it's like a, one of those standing rooms, standing room only type of sections where you have the bar up against the railing right next to the field. And they've done a great job around here giving all sorts of different areas to hang out, the different food trucks, the different bars, the team shops. So a lot of cool stuff going on around here. We'll talk about it throughout the afternoon. And looking forward to the game itself tonight, the home opener, to see it in action with a couple of thousand fans here this evening as the Battery take on Charlotte Independents. We'll continue to highlight things going on with the Battery around here throughout the afternoon. But I've teased this earlier in the week. We didn't have a chance to get to it. And coming up in just a little bit, which teams are going to have to rely on the draft next year? Which teams in the NFL will be back in the quarterback market a year from now? Also, a little bit later on, the Pac-12 has their new boss. How big of a difference could that make? But on the subject of the NFL draft, you know, we always talk about it. We call it a crapshoot. We talk about it's a coin flip. You have no idea how these guys are going to turn out. First-round draft picks are far from a guarantee. And I saw some data this week that I found interesting. And, of course, numbers don't always work well on the radio. We put that to the test daily because if you listen to the show, you know I love analytics. But I found this interesting. If you go back and you look at wide receivers taken in the first couple of rounds, and around the time of the draft a couple of weeks ago, I was saying for the Cincinnati Bengals, there is no debate. You take Penei Sewell fifth overall instead of Ja'Marr Chase because I'd rather have the lineman than the wide receiver. Plus, you could get wide receivers later on in the draft. You could get undrafted wide receivers that could have good careers. But I found this data that helps illustrate that point. Eight wide receivers drafted in the first round. This is over the past decade. In the past decade, eight wide receivers drafted in the first round have been selected to at least one Pro Bowl. You have guys like A.J. Green, Julio Jones, DeAndre Hopkins, Amari Cooper, Odell Beckham Jr., Mike Evans, and most recently last year, Justin Jefferson. Cordarrelle Patterson was a first-round wide receiver who made a Pro Bowl but did so as a special teamer, but we can still count him in the list of eight. By the way, of those eight, only half were taken in the top 12 picks. Additionally, if you go further in the draft, in the second round, 12 wide receivers drafted in the second round the past decade have made it to at least one Pro Bowl. And for those names, you have guys like Jarvis Landry, Devontae Adams, Michael Thomas, A.J. Brown, D.J. Chark, Randall Cobb, Mecole Hardman, Alshon Jeffrey, D.K. Metcalf, Allen Robinson, Juju Smith-Schuster, Courtland Sutton. A lot of those guys who, coming out of college, did not have the projected impact that they ended up having. Coming out of college, the expectations weren't as high as what they've put forth in their NFL careers so far. But let's take it a step further. If you look to the third round, there have been five wide receivers drafted in the third round over the past decade to make a Pro Bowl. And that would include Keenan Allen, T.Y. Hilton, Chris Godwin, Kenny Galladay, and Tyler Lockett. Some of the better wide receivers in the league. Five of them in the third round have been to at least one Pro Bowl in the last year. So what does this all mean? Well, compare the numbers. Only eight first-round wide receivers have made it to a Pro Bowl in the past decade. Meanwhile, 12 in the second round and even five in the third round. They're not too far off if you compare the third-round draft picks compared to the first round. Additionally, if you want to look at how many wide receivers are taken, because that may be your retort, well, more wide receivers are drafted in the third round, so of course they're going to have more Pro Bowlers. Don't worry, I've crunched those numbers for you as well and can tell you that that is not the case. If you look at the last decade alone, first-round draft picks have a 21% chance of making a Pro Bowl. Second-round draft picks have a 26%. So not a huge difference, but still the numbers there are in the advantage of second-round draft picks have been better at the wide receiver position the past decade than the first round. Which takes me to this interesting article that was put out by CBSSports.com. And granted, this is in large part because of Tom Brady, but not solely because of Tom Brady. But if you go back and you look, this is since 1994. If you go back since 94, the quarterbacks drafted in the sixth round over that stretch have a better winning percentage than quarterbacks drafted in the first round. Now, the first round draft picks certainly have a much larger sample size. You're taking more quarterbacks in the first round that will actually go on and play games compared to the sixth round. And first round quarterbacks that have long careers include guys like Peyton Manning and Aaron Rodgers and Ben Roethlisberger, Eli Manning, Matt Ryan, Alex Smith, Cam Newton, Donovan McNabb, so on and so forth. And the sixth round draft picks certainly are carried by Tom Brady, but not exclusively. It hasn't just been Tom Brady. Other quarterbacks taken in the sixth round that went on to have starting careers in the NFL include Matt Hasselbeck, who had a winning record over 160 career starts. You also have Mark Bolger, who was about a .500 quarterback and had a couple of decent years with the Rams, sixth-round draft pick. Derek Anderson has been in the league for a long time. In fact, he had a really good year. He was a Pro Bowler with the Cleveland Browns. Tyrod Taylor, who has a winning record in the NFL and may get a chance to be the starter this year for the Texans. You go back to Jim Miller in the 90s, playing for the Bears, had a winning record. Bruce Gradkowski. Gardner Minshew, who wasn't too bad in his so far 20 career starts as a sixth-round draft pick. And you compare the quarterbacks in the sixth round. Granted, there haven't been as many compared to first-round quarterbacks, and those quarterbacks in the sixth round actually do have better numbers. Now, this could change. Tom Brady will retire relatively soon, and meanwhile, Patrick Mahomes seems like he's going to win a bunch of games, and Lamar Jackson probably will win a bunch of games for Baltimore, and they will help the first-round quarterback pool. But I just find it interesting that when you compare the data over the past 10 years, second-round draft picks, and in some cases even third-round wide receivers, have been more successful at reaching Pro Bowls than first-round wide receivers. And in the last almost three decades for quarterbacks, yes, a lot of it is Tom Brady. But even so, you look at some of the other quarterbacks taken in the sixth round, just in general, almost the last 30 years, or was that 27 years since 1994, sixth-round quarterbacks have had more success than first-round quarterbacks. And it may not be a complete apples and orange comparison, because first-round quarterbacks, there have been a lot more of them, and they've played a lot more games. That could help or hurt the winning percentage. But the sample size isn't the same for each. But based off of the winning percentage last 27 years, the sixth-round quarterbacks have been better than the first-round quarterbacks. And in the past decade, second round with wide receivers have been better than first-round wide receivers. Which to me illustrates 2 points. Number one, as we know, the NFL draft is still a crapshoot. Despite all of the statistics and film and science and interviews and all of the resources poured into this thing, and the fact that we spend months talking and preparing for it, and now you watch more college football maybe than ever before, everybody's on TV and you know these guys better than ever before. And the NFL draft used to be on during the day, during the week, back in the 80s. You'd have to take time off if you wanted to watch the draft. Now it's a three-day event. It's on all weekend long. Millions of people are tuning in. In fact, more people watch the NFL draft than the NBA playoffs. You know more about these guys than ever before, and yet it is still so unpredictable. So as you get excited for your first-round draft pick, right, we all think Kyle Pitts, Trevor Lawrence can't miss guys, and they probably are. But history shows us just because somebody's taken in the first round doesn't mean they are going to either work out or be the best at their position in that draft class. That's why, as a Minnesota Viking fan, I'm excited that the Vikings took Kellen Mond in the third round. Just because he went in the third round doesn't mean he's not going to work. Those are some of the pieces that you start looking for, like your Dak Prescott's, your Russell Wilson's. Those are outliers, no doubt. But the point being, there is always talent there. There are late bloomers. There are guys who are underdeveloped, didn't maybe get good coaching in college. And on the flip side, there are great talents that go in the first round, like a Jamarcus Russell. Talk to anybody, even with the Raiders that were around Jamarcus Russell. They'll tell you he was one of the most talented guys they have seen throw a football. He just didn't have it maybe between the ears, or the work ethic, or the drive, or the discipline to make it work in the NFL. So we spend a lot of time in the draft. I'm guilty of it. We get excited for the draft picks. We talk about the guys, their impact as rookies, all this first round pick. But if you go back and look at the wide receiver position, first-round draft picks have not been the most successful. And at the quarterback position, first-round draft picks also have not been the most successful. In fact, sixth-round draft picks have been. And it may not be the perfect data to use, but the point remains the same, that the NFL, the draft, it's still such a crapshoot. You can't depend solely on the draft. You can't rely on these guys. You can't expect that your first-round pick is just automatically going to work out. A J.C. Horn, a Kyle Pitts, even a Ja'Marr Chase, Penei Sewell, any of these guys that we're all excited about going in the top 10. History tells us only half of the first-round picks work, and also that you'll have greater success actually drafting guys later in the draft than the first-round picks we get all excited about. With that said, which teams will have to rely on the draft a year from now to better their football teams? Which teams will be back in the quarterback market 12 months from now? Which teams won't have an answer at the quarterback spot this upcoming season? We'll get to that coming up. Coming to you from Patriots Point with the Charleston Battery, their home opener is tonight against Charlotte Independence. And we will catch up with the head coach of the Battery coming up a little bit later on this hour. The owner of the team, Rob Salvatore, will join us next hour as we continue to get ready. We're broadcasting from the stage here in the northwest corner. This is where they have the live music. We'll have a musician here set up a few hours. You know, once we're done, they'll come in, they'll set up. There'll be some music here. Food trucks are coming in. They have the bars set up. They got the team shop going on. Fans are allowed in here. They got a video board now at Patriots Point that they just installed a month ago in the opposite corner here. That would be, what, the southeast corner, I think. Trying to do this off the top of my head without looking at my compass. But it's beautiful around here. They put in new seats, padded seats. They have standing room only. They have standing bars. Very cool. And we'll continue to talk about it throughout the afternoon here from Patriots Point. But when we come back, which teams will be in the quarterback market again a year from now in the NFL? It's the Morrow Midday Show right here on ESPN Radio.
This is the Morrow Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
Which NFL team will be back in the quarterback market a year from now? It's the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. Want to give you one final reminder. We're coming to you, by the way, from Patriots Point with the Charleston Battery here in Mount Pleasant, getting ready for the home opener tonight with the Charlotte Independents. Looking forward to it. The new ownership has done a fantastic job here in the year and a half they've had this team. And they've brought them here to Patriots Point. They've added a video board in the past month. They've added all sorts of different things. The different bar setups, padded seating, more seating. It's excellent. And we'll talk about it coming up with the owner himself, Rob Salvatore, a little bit later on. But I do one final reminder for you. Because by the time we're on the air Monday, it's probably going to be sold out again. That's just how this goes. But Monday at 8 a.m., week two of our 2021 Summer Golf Tour begins. And so Monday, 8 a.m., will be the Plantation at Edisto. Will go on sale, foursomes for $98.90, online at charlestonsportsradio.com. You can go find the information you need right now. But in terms of purchasing one of these great foursomes, 8 a.m., Monday, it begins right there, charlestonsportsradio.com. Don't say I didn't warn you. I've been giving you a warning every day now, all week long. It sold out in 17 minutes this week. So set your alarm, put that reminder in your phone, whatever you got to do, write it down on the calendar, on your forehead, whatever you need, on the bathroom mirror. 8 a.m. goes on sale on Monday. You better get there quick because they go like hotcakes. CharlestonSportsRadio.com. Get yourself a foursome. Okay, we'll talk more about the Charleston Battery throughout the afternoon. Their head coach is scheduled to join us in about 10 minutes, depending on what his afternoon looks like. But in regards to football, we were just talking about the draft last segment and how much of a crapshoot the draft is. And I think sometimes people can forget that, so it's always nice to help pass along the data points that remind you or help illustrate that nobody knows anything when it comes to the NFL draft. But some teams are going to have to rely on the draft once again to try to solve their quarterback situations a year from now. Which teams in the NFL do you believe will be back in the quarterback market a year from now? Let's run through the teams. And we won't go necessarily team by team, but instead look division by division. In the AFC East, you believe Buffalo and now certainly the Jets with Zach Wilson and New England with Mac Jones have their quarterbacks. You'd like to believe Miami has their quarterback. I'm not so sure. And the Dolphins are in a situation here where the Patriots think they have their answer for the future. The Jets believe they have their answer for the future. The Bills know they have their answer for the future. And if you're the Dolphins and Tua struggles again this year to the point where maybe you're pulling him again from fourth quarters, maybe you take a step back as a team after winning 10 games a year ago and almost making the playoffs, and you look around the rest of your division and you see, the Jets have Zach Wilson. The Patriots have Mac Jones. Bills have Josh Allen. They have their quarterback questions answered. And depending on how they look this year, you may think, those are some good answers. Those are some guys we're going to have to deal with for a while. We need our own. And you may come away from that thought process as the Dolphins by the end of the year and realize, yeah, Tua is not our guy. He can't keep up with a Josh Allen. He'll never be on that level. Ooh, already Mac Jones looks like he's more developed. The Dolphins, I think, will be a team in that category. In the AFC North, Baltimore, Cleveland, Cincinnati all seem to be set. But what about Pittsburgh with Ben Roethlisberger, who seems to be on his last few inches here of his career? And every year we're having this conversation of if this is the end. And he started off playing really well this past year, but faded quickly in the second half. And I think 12 months from now, that conversation will need to be had in a serious manner about what the Steelers will do moving forward at the quarterback position. In the AFC South, all four teams were up in the air, I would say. Jacksonville answered their question with Trevor Lawrence. Houston, we have to see what happens with Deshaun Watson. That's starting to get a little bit uglier this week with the lawyers going back and forth publicly once again and even calling each other names and saying one's lying about the other. That's going to get messier before it gets solved. We'll see what happens with Deshaun, but right now I don't think if you're Houston, you can depend on him for one reason or another. He didn't even want to be there. Meanwhile, Indianapolis, Carson Wentz, I don't think that's the solution, and Ryan Tannehill I certainly have concerns over in Tennessee. I think a replacement could be necessary there depending on how things go this year without Arthur Smith. In the AFC West, Kansas City and the Chargers certainly have their answers. But Las Vegas with Derek Carr never seem happy, and Denver right now, unless they get Aaron Rodgers in the next few weeks, certainly will need to do something to address their quarterback position. Between Drew Lock or Teddy Bridgewater, they don't have the answer on the roster. In the NFC, Washington just needs a quarterback to be able to try to win Super Bowls, and I don't think Ryan Fitzpatrick is that guy. Ryan Fitzpatrick, it's become a meme. It's a great cycle where he has a great year. Somebody turns him into a starter, gives him a big contract, and he burns out. Then he goes somewhere else as a backup. The following year, he steps in, has a good year. Somebody takes a chance on him as a starter, and he flames out. That's the concern here. Washington's taking a chance on him as a starter. Can he actually play well when he's depended on? If he does, Washington will be a Super Bowl threat. The Giants with Daniel Jones. If he doesn't play well this year, no more excuses. The Giants, I believe, will be on the move for a quarterback after this season if Jones does not get them to a winning record. Dallas is set with Dak. Philadelphia with Jalen Hurts. I think that's just the situation they found themselves in. I don't believe Jalen Hurts was ever drafted as the true plan for the Eagles, and certainly not the plan for 2021. But things have gotten so messy with Carson Wentz, this was their only solution. And I don't think Hurts is ready or will ever be an NFL quarterback, and a year from now, the Eagles will be back in the quarterback market. If Aaron Rodgers actually does leave Green Bay, as we look at the NFC North, the Packers certainly will need a quarterback because I don't think Jordan Love is the answer. In fact, the Packers are telling us that's the case. That's why they don't want to try to move on from Aaron Rodgers. It's why Jordan Love was the third string this past year. He's not ready yet. In Chicago, they believe they have Justin Fields as their answer. Minnesota will go from Kirk Cousins to Kellen Mond and hope that works out. And Detroit, even though they just acquired Jared Goff, I could see them a year from now. They could get out of his contract. I believe it's after the 2022 season. I believe it's 2 years from now. But the Lions, depending on how things go this year, and they probably won't go well, could also be looking for a quarterback. In the NFC South, New Orleans does not have their quarterback answer on the roster with Jameis or Taysom. Tampa Bay, we'll see how much longer Tom Brady has. I know he's talking now about playing until he's 50. He's talking about five more years. We'll see if that's the case a year from now. Carolina, they hope things work out with Sam Darnold and that he will be their answer at the position. And the Falcons, too, are relying on Matt Ryan. But for both of those teams, if things go south this year, I think the Panthers will be back in the quarterback market a year from now looking for a real, true answer. And if Matt Ryan does not play well, then I think you really start ramping up those conversations about what's next for the Falcons. And lastly, the NFC West. Seattle is set with Russell Wilson. The Rams now have Stafford. They're good to go. Kyler Murray isn't going anywhere in Arizona. And San Francisco, between Trey Lance and Jimmy Garoppolo, should be good to go for the immediate future. That's the one division that is truly locked up at the quarterback position, seemingly for the next handful of years. But the point of the exercise being that when you look around the league, you know, we've had this sense the last couple of years that it seemed like teams had their answer at the quarterback position. For the last couple of years, it seems like going into the year, all the teams were in pretty good spots, whether they had their current quarterback or their future quarterback already on the roster. But if you look at the league, I did not keep track of the teams I mentioned, but it seems like almost half of them still have questions at that quarterback spot. That while the Giants may feel good about Daniel Jones right now, if he does not play well this year, they won't feel good about him anymore come December. Same with the Panthers and Sam Darnold. Maybe same with the Falcons and Matt Ryan. Adam Schefter reported a record turnover at the quarterback position this year, and it really didn't happen this offseason. So let me call my shot. Depending on how things go this year, maybe it happens next year. There's a lot of guys that I think are kind of teetering on that fence. Jared Goff has to play for his job. Sam Darnold, I think Matt Ryan does. In New Orleans, certainly. Right? Even Kirk Cousins to a certain degree. Ryan Fitzpatrick, Jalen Hurts. There's a lot of quarterbacks who shouldn't feel too comfortable in their positions right now throughout the league. Coming up, we'll catch up with the head coach, Mike Anheuser of the Charleston Battery, who will join us next. We're out here at Patriots Point getting ready for the Battery's home opener tonight with the Charlotte Independents. Looking forward to it. And we'll talk about it with the coach himself when we come back. It's the Morrow Midday Show. right here on ESPN Radio.
You're listening to the Morrow Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
I woke up this morning with a buzz rolling round in my brain. I haven't been drinking, but it feels pretty good just the same. It must be contagious, it looks like it's going around. It's cool once you catch it, can't keep your feet on the ground.
It's the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio, coming to you from Patriots Point with the Charleston Batteries. We get ready for the home opener tonight with Charlotte Independence. We have been joined by guests throughout the afternoon getting ready for tonight's game, which is sold out, by the way. But you can get tickets to the next home game or one of the future home games online at charlestonbattery.com. Come out and see all the new changes going on around here at Patriots Point. Certainly a great venue for a game. Home opener tonight, and joining us now to talk about it is the coach of the Charleston Battery, Coach Mike Anheuser. Coach, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you doing? Thanks for having me.
Yeah, doing well. Yeah, appreciate you. We talked earlier in the week, and now here we are getting ready for the home opener tonight. So, you know, I'm sure not much has changed in the last couple of days, but how's the team doing? Is everyone ready to go tonight?
Yeah, the excitement level is just, it's buzzing. I mean, you're here now and looking around at all the changes at the stadium and everything that we weren't able to do last year. And then the players, you know, they've been waiting for this.
Yeah.
And your home opener is one of the biggest games for you as a player. So we're excited. Coaching staff's excited. The ownership's excited. And I'm sure the 2,000 people that are going to be here and are sold out. That's great to hear, too. Sold out. That's incredible. So hopefully we just do that more than a few times this season.
Yeah, what does that mean for you as the coach to know that you'll have that support tonight and be able to play? And it's not a full stadium. Well, it is full for the COVID restrictions, but to be able to have that backing tonight.
Yeah, it's huge. You know, we had 1,200 last year, and it felt like 2,000. So 2,000 is going to feel like 20,000, hopefully. And I'll tell you, every little bit that those fans can get and get excited into the game and back the players and, you know, putting those chances in there and you get it or a goal, which, you know, we did very well last year and we want to carry it over. So we want to try to get them rowdy. We want to, you know, make them excited and we want to make them come back.
Tonight, going up against Charlotte, I was watching the film. I was getting ready. You played this team plenty. What's the matchup? What are you looking for out of the Independence tonight for this game?
Yeah, you know, it's just a rivalry game. And, you know, everybody has those. We've played Charlotte. They've had, you know, okay, Independence. They've been the Eagles, and it doesn't matter. It's a game that's going to be very difficult to play. You know, they're very aggressive. When they play us, they play better than even if you watched them on tape last week. Their players, you know, they didn't have Enzo Martinez and a couple guys that they've had. They step up to the plate. They have a goalie that, you know, if he's on, he's going to be tough to beat because he's one of the best in the league. So we've got to come out and really, you know, we got to hit him with our firepower, and we've got to get forward and create chances. So we know that, you know, physically it always gets chippy too. So the referee's going to have a job to do. The fans are going to have a job to do to keep on them, to make sure they rile them up a little bit. And hopefully, you know, they might go a little too far, and, you know, we don't mind seeing one of their players off the field.
Are you in the ear of the referees? What are you like as a coach? Are you letting them know what's going on out there and then, you know, try to get a call or two?
I'll be honest. I used to really get on them, and I mean, but I had a few problems with referees, so I have to step back a little bit, and I'm a little more reserved than I used to be. But I do get fired up when there's bad call, just like fans.
Yeah.
It really bothers me if it changes the game.
Of course.
As a coach, you have to try to be in there to adjust it or try to, you know, maybe make it in your favor.
All right.
So I agree. Yeah, we need to get in there and, you know, as coaches and try to do it. But you don't want to get in their ear and make them upset at you, because then they go the other way, give you a bad call, and it hurts you, and you feel terrible as a coach because you feel that way because you're always thinking, oh, did I do this right or that wrong? Or, yeah, did I cause a problem with the team? But it's just like players, so you're involved. It keeps me involved.
Yeah, it's like mind games. You have to make them think you like them enough that you're, you know, almost like friends, but you can still give them a hard time and get those calls for you.
Yeah, absolutely, and hopefully we've got a good one tonight, you know. But and, you know, you should get the home calls, and you know, but you never know. You know, you always feel like you do or you don't. But in the end, you do get more calls at home than on the road.
You've been with this organization for a long time, going back to your playing days. Now you've been a coach for a long time. I mean, when you look around, and I know the battery have not been here at Patriots Point for a long time, but for you, think back to when you first came to Charleston to now. I mean, the amount of changes you've seen with this organization.
Well, where I'm sitting, I'm looking at the brand new bridge, which obviously was not here when I came. It was the old Cooper River Bridge. We played downtown at Stony Field.
Right.
and then obviously moved to Daniel Island, and now back here looking at the new bridge and then looking around at this, you know, food truck garden, beer garden that's going to be on the side is going to be incredible. 2,200 stands that was built right here on Patriots Point, because we played here, you know, playing the College of Charleston a few times as scrimmages and everything else, but it's so different. And if you haven't seen it, you have to get out here, and it's incredible. And it's incredible to know we were sitting, this was all trees where we're sitting right now, and we're on a stage, right? Where I think there's going to be live music tonight.
Yeah, that's right.
Which, you know, only adds another little tier to it. So it's incredible. I can't believe it. I'm excited, and every day that I walk around and see all the new things, even you got a VIP box that just got
put
in.
Yes, I saw that.
Scoreboard.
Yeah.
Yeah, have you been over there? That baby's
nice.
Up, you know, so it's changed from even last year, so we're excited, and I'll tell you, it's great to come into work every day.
I can imagine. And does this stuff help when it comes to putting, like, a roster together even? I mean, you know, you talk about college recruiting, getting kids to choose your program. People always talk about facilities. What about even at the professional ranks when it comes to the Battery or other teams in professional soccer? I mean, how important are your home facilities?
It's huge. It makes a big difference. So if you're fighting for, we were talking about one of our young players actually a second ago, you know, a guy from Maryland, well, he has options. He can go places. But, yeah, they hear good things about Charleston. They come down. We try to bring them in to showcase what we have. Mm-hmm. We're playing on a beautiful grass pitch. Mm-hmm. You have these wonderful facilities. So it's incredible. The town, you can't even really, that's easy to sell. I'm sure everybody listening, a lot of people move here just to come to Charleston. So it's incredible, and it's a really big recruitment tool, and it's a huge advantage for us, and we try to take advantage of it.
When you first came to Charleston in back, what, 1994?
Yeah.
Did you think you'd still be here in 2021?
Well, you know, probably back then when I was driving down out of the snow from Indiana, I would say, yes, I would probably stay down here. But you don't think about that as a player. Mm-hmm. You're thinking about doing well, moving on, and creating your career. But once I was here, you know, and I happened to move into a rental property on the Isle of Palms, so it wasn't too bad for 2 years. I was just across from the beach. So it was pretty hard to leave. And then, you know, the team has grown. And the Charleston Battery just grew and grew for me, you know, even being at Stony and then Daniel Island and now here. It's become more professional. It's become even better. And anybody who's been around Charleston for as long as I have is probably grown with it, and even more people know about it now. And we're still trying to grow the game. And it's something that I would say it was hard to leave.
I can imagine.
Yeah, you know, you always have offers or maybe some things pop up. But I'll tell you, I mean, it was never a problem saying, could I stay here? Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Dad, talking with Coach Mike Anheuser of the Charleston Battery. We'll catch up with Rob Salvatore later on. But, you know, what did it mean as the coach, as we've touched on, you've been with this organization for a long time. When you hear of an ownership change, that could be a scary thing. But to see the amount of resources that they've put in or the interest they've had, what they're doing, what's it been like as the head coach now with this new ownership?
It's been tremendous. Obviously, you know, we had to learn each other, meet each other, and grow. But hearing the passion the first time that I talked to Rob of what he was going to do and being able to sit in some of the meetings in the early days with it, you know, especially then when I was going to be the coach, it was exciting. And seeing this, and you see the plans, mm-hmm. and you don't know how it's going to turn out, but it was tremendous. And the support that the ownership group, Rob, and the ownership group have given the team is incredible. And I'll tell you, it's only helped us grow. And, you know, they're looking to not just be here for, you know, tonight or one day. We want to be here for a long time, and obviously that's the goal, and that's what they're going to see, and that's what fans are going to see when they come down here with the investment that the ownership group has made. So it's been absolutely tremendous.
Let's talk about the team, because you've done a great job leading this team for years now. The team itself, not a ton of change from a year ago, so does that help coming into this season? That, you know, a lot of times in all sports, imagine feeling out your team early on in the season. But for you, having a lot of these guys that have been here, does that help kind of get off to maybe hopefully a quicker start this year?
Yeah, you hope so, especially having three out of our four games are at home. It should help. Of course, you have to deal with injuries. Of course, you have to deal with players. But having the players, like we had our goalkeeper, our four in the back, in the midfield, everybody's back, so you have the continuity, and then even two up front. So we had good continuity, but it has been difficult because we didn't have them all through preseason. We had guys on international duty. We did have a couple little injuries that you don't want to rush guys back. Mm-hmm. But now they're starting to get back in, and you can see the continuity kicking in, and we are looking forward to it to help us. But it's always a new season. But it, you know, it's good for us that they know each other and you want to grow as a team and be difficult to play. But also other teams know and can go back to last year and look. And if we don't change a few things, you know, they might be able to slow down some of the opportunities that maybe they lost out on last year. So, of course, that's just a negative. But it's great to have as a coach because, you know, when you're going out there, it's easy. If we know each other, it makes it a lot easier. You know what makes you tick. Right. What can get you going, and that's the big thing, is everybody knows how to tick each other's buttons and really push them. You know, AJ knows how to get on Leland. Leland knows how to get on the goalkeeper. Goalkeeper really is fresh with the back line and is able to talk to him, which is key, because if you have to make adjustments in the moment, right, it's better to know each other, because if I don't know 100% how you're going to react, you know, I say the wrong thing to you, you might get a little upset at me for that 5 minutes, and that can be the difference.
Oh, I could imagine. Yeah. What about the preseason? Because, you know, the last 12 months has not been normal for anybody, especially in the sports world. Was the preseason anything like a normal preseason getting ready for this year?
Not at all. Not at all. International players not being able to come over. You know, we had a Robbie Crawford, and he can't get on a plane because of all the rules and regulations, and a couple other players. International players on international duty with COVID restrictions coming in 7 days. All these little things are still there and in place for the safety and security of the players and the staffs and the teams. So it was a little different. But once we did get in and everybody has gotten in, we're feeling things getting back to normal right now. Flying last week in the airport, and it's packed, and the plane's full, and, you know, everybody's still wearing masks. But, you know, that's just kind of where we are, and I think things are starting to come around. And, I mean, having the 2,000 people tonight is going to really make our guys feel like things are changing again, and it's great. And it's great for not just the people who are coming. It's great for the community and the organization, because that's why you do this. It's why you play. You want to play in front of the people and hopefully make them, you know, cheer for you.
You just played in New York, as you said, and sports fans in New York just in general could be crazy. What about here in Charleston? Because I've heard about, what is the supporter section here, and they asked to have their own little bar set up out there. And I've heard about the passionate Charleston Battery fans. So, you know, what's this fan base been like supporting this team?
It's been tremendous. The regiment, you know, is the main one. And I think we have a couple other groups that are going to be sitting right behind us. And it's a standing room only section. And even with, I think it was like 20 or 30 people last year with the drums and the flares, it was crazy. So if we have 200 up there, you know, at the start of the season, which I think that's what it's going to be, it could be buzzing. And you said the bar. I didn't know the bar is going to be right next door, so that will only entice them a little more to have a couple more, you know, beers, or probably just beers and wine. I don't know what they're going to have. I'm sure they'll have more, because I hear the tailgates are going to be starting early too, which is great.
Yeah, absolutely. You want that type of environment here at home. With the home opener tonight against Charlotte Independence for the Charleston Battery, talking with Coach Mike Anheuser. For the team, you know, what are some things early on this season that just getting underway? Tonight's the home opener. What are some things as a coach, because I know coaches are never satisfied, you know, what's the message you're stressing? What are some things you're still working on with the team early in the year?
Yeah, you know, we've been pushing to be really attacking out of the back and keeping the ball a little more, which we did very well in New York, and we created a lot of crosses and chances. Of course, we want to try to, you know, keep the ball a little more when we're at home. So, but that always dictates off the team you're playing. Charlotte allows you to have possession, so we're going to really have to move it. But at home, last year we did it. We were able to get crosses. We were able to create chances, put teams under pressure. And we're going to try to keep the intensity level up high. We're going to try to keep the pressure on their back line early from the beginning to, you know, make them make a mistake. And try to catch them and, you know, create as many chances as we can. One thing I write on the board, chances. We want to create as many as we can, because if we can create 20 or 30 every game, that's going to make it exciting. It doesn't mean you're going to score all the time, but at least those chances get people excited and do that. So we don't want to sit back. That's what we've been working on. We did it very well last week on the road, and obviously this is our home, so hopefully we can only be better.
If the team wins a game, say you win tonight in the home opener, we're on this stage where there's live music. Do you have a victory song? You personally, how do you unwind after you go home? You have a certain beverage? How do you celebrate a victory over the years of your coaching career?
You know, it's different. You know, I would enjoy to have a pint, you know, and two, if you win the game, you're always feeling better. If you have one, if you don't win or you don't play that well, you're always thinking about what can you change or what can you adjust. So it's no different for any coach. But I'll tell you, I mean, even who knows, you might see me up here dancing and get a 3-0 win tonight. You never know. And the people who know me would understand that I would be out here with them because I want to give them all the support that I can for being out here to support us.
Yeah, which is fantastic. Say you do wind up on the stage, what's the go-to song? Like, do you have a favorite band to sing? If you ever went out for karaoke, you got a go-to song you would sing?
I can't even give you one. I would say it. It would probably be Kenny Rogers, I'm not really a singer, so I can't give you anything that would be good.
Just yelling in the ears of those officials when you have to.
That's
Coach
it.
Anheuser. Hey, don't worry. Tonight, I'll be over there in the Bud Light corner kick deck, they call it, right over here. I'll be right on top of the action. If anybody needs a talking to, I got your back tonight.
Awesome. I'll send the referee over there.
Perfect. Hey, best of luck tonight against Charlotte and throughout the season. Appreciate the time, Coach. I'm sure we'll be catching up with you throughout the year, but it's great to have the soccer back here in the Lowcountry, the home opener tonight, fans back in attendance. It's a good time for the Battery, and so appreciate you joining us. Best of luck tonight.
Oh, thank you very much, and what a night for us to open. It's beautiful. I don't even see a cloud out here.
Yeah, you're not kidding. It's a perfect night for soccer. Looking forward to it. He's Coach Mike Anheuser, head coach of the Battery. We'll come back and wrap up Hour 2 next. It's the Morrow Midday Show right here on ESPN Radio.
Now back to the Morrow Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
It's the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. Out at Patriots Point with the Charleston Battery getting ready for tonight's home opener against the Charlotte Independents. Now, tonight is sold out, so, you know, if you're excited, you're looking forward to soccer coming back here to the Lowcountry, and you don't have your ticket already, unfortunately, you're out of luck tonight. But tickets still available. Their next home game is next Sunday, May 23rd. And then they also are at home on June 4th. It's a Friday night. Head on over to charlestonbattery.com. We were just joined last segment by Coach Anheuser. And if you ever miss anything from the show, you can always catch it on demand, ESPN Radio Charleston. However you listen to your podcast or online at charlestonsportsradio.com, and you can always find the show on demand. But as he was saying, you know, 5 of the next 6 games are at home here for the Battery into the middle of June. So they'll be here for a while. You'll have plenty of opportunities to come out and see all the new changes and the cool new home facilities here of the Battery at Patriots Point. And it begins tonight with a home opener against Charlotte at 7 o'clock. You can watch it on ESPN Plus or also listen online or if you have an account with SiriusXM, if you're a subscriber to SiriusXM, you can listen to the game as well. I wish I saw this earlier. Bobby had texted me that Coach Anheuser's alma mater, Indiana, is playing in the NCAA semifinals. See, I try to be a good host. I don't want to look at the phone. I don't want to be distracted. I wish I saw that earlier. So Coach Anheuser played at Indiana, came and played for the Battery here, and hasn't left from a player to an assistant to now the coach, and has done a great job leading this team throughout the years, and, of course, again here in 2021. Hey, before we go at the top of the hour, and we'll be joined by the owner of the Charleston Battery, Rob Salvatore, next hour. Looking forward to that conversation as well. But before we do go here at the top of hour number 2, they announced potential regional hosts for the college baseball playoff. And you have Arizona, Arkansas, Charlotte, East Carolina, Florida, Gonzaga, Louisiana Tech, Mississippi State, Notre Dame, Ole Miss, Oregon, Pittsburgh, Southern Miss, Stanford, Tennessee, Texas, Texas Tech, TCU, Vanderbilt, and South Carolina there as well. So a few surprises mixed in there. You can find the latest with D1 baseball. But for most of the case for most of them are that they are those teams you would expect in the top 25, a few exceptions. But just 2 teams in the at least D1 baseball's current top 25, not included in that regional release. And, you know, for South Carolina, that's the hope, is that you want to be that regional host. And they have a big series coming up this weekend with Kentucky, where they haven't won a series since 2009, and they need to win some games this weekend. No, I'm holding back a sneeze. I forgot to take my allergy medicine this weekend. So that's the one, this morning, I should say. That's the one negative. It's a beautiful day. Love being out here, getting ready for soccer tonight. But I forgot. I was leaving the house this morning, and I realized on the drive over, I did not take my allergy medicine. So I'm fighting back a sneeze right now. It's the Michael Jordan flu game going on around here. Working under these stressful conditions with my allergies. But it's a great afternoon and a good night for the home opener tonight with the battery. I don't think the sneeze. I think I fought it off successfully. Coming up, how important are early starts when it comes to the football season and the NFL? We'll get to that in lieu or in the afterglow of the schedule release this week in the NFL. Plus, the Pac-12 has a new boss. This is a very important move for the Pac-12. They botched the last time they made this hire. Did they get it right yesterday? We may not know for a few years, but they better hope that things work out. We'll get to that coming up. Because the race is kind of on. Pac-12, Big 12. Who needs a national championship more in football? We'll get to that coming up. Plus, the owner of the battery, Rob Salvatore, will join us as well. Hour 3 coming up next from Patriots Point with the Charleston Battery. It's the Morrow Midday Show on ESPN Radio.